Welcome to Families for Life with Brian and Brian, a podcast of Oak Hill Baptist Church.
On today's episode, we're doing our Christmas special, celebrating the Advent. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, Brian.
Are you in the Christmas spirit? You like my sleigh bells?
I love the bells. Thank you.
Yeah.
I am. I mean, I'm getting there, honestly. I don't know that I mean, this is a different year for me. We got a lot going on. So.
Yes, that's true. Your Christmas is going to look a little different.
Yeah, but, it is. But thinking about it, actually, like, preparing for this episode has made me, like, more thoughtful and thinking about it. I know we're doing this a little early.
Yeah.
But there's a reason for that. We're trying to get ahead of the Christmas season so that we can help people in the midst of the Christmas season.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We'll talk about all that.
Yeah.
I want to remind people to do all the things you're supposed to do. You know what to do.
Right.
We don't have to say it.
If you listen to podcasts, then you know what we're
asking you to do. So go do it. And then that'll make us really happy.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for supporting us. You can send us feedback to our email in the show notes.
Yep.
Let your friends know about the podcast. Yes. So, yes, today we're talking about Advent. So the reason we release the Christmas episodes, the last one of the year.
Right, yeah.
The last episode of the year, I think. Mm-hmm. This year we're doing it earlier because we want to talk about Advent, which starts in the month of December.
Yeah, actually November most of the time.
So if we did not talk about Advent beforehand, then we did it right before Christmas, it wouldn't make sense. You wouldn't have time to incorporate these things into your family.
Exactly. Because, I mean, and we all know, like, man, even before Halloween was over, I was hearing Christmas ads.
Yes, that's right? The thing. It's creeping up earlier and earlier and earlier. So I'm thinking, like, you know, school back to school, and the Christmas decorations will be up next year. So,
yeah, that's so true,
I think it's crazy how, you know, it's that weird, like, there's pumpkins and there's, like, you know,
snowmen.
To each other at the store. I don't know how to really process all this. I feel like there used to be more separation in the holidays. Maybe not. I know Thanksgiving and Christmas have always kind of run together because they're only a month apart.
Well, and normally Thanksgiving is the time that you are setting up. Like, most people, like, I remember growing up, we would set things up the day or the weekend after Thanksgiving, you know, like that's when we would start. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's good to have those things available.
Yeah.
To you.
You'd have about a month of Christmas stuff, but now people are, doing Christmas really early. Do you have, normally you would have a tree set up,
but honestly, yes, but it's funny, you know, Kayla, my wife and I were talking about this, how it does feel like way more people than normal are doing what we would do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know if that's just because that's what everyone's doing or if people are really, like, loving Christmas more. You know, I can't tell. And so, Kayla, funnily, we were like, I'm glad we're not, you know, I'm glad we don't have our stuff up because now everybody's doing it, you know?
So. Well, do you think that the commercialization of it has, like, the marketing is working to where it's making people want Christmas sooner?
Maybe. I think that's definitely a part of it. I do think that people are trying to capitalize. Whatever is happening, I think that the commercialized part of it is trying to capitalize on that, which to me always frustrates me. Obviously, like, you know, I don't want the Christmas season to be about buying stuff, you know, because it's not what it's about.
Yeah.
And so I am afraid that that's happening. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to kind of watch the trends and then see people. I definitely think people are, you know, after the last couple of years, people are wanting more community. They're wanting to get together more and see their family more, and so
that's true.
That part of it has started. I don't know. Decoration, you know, Christmas decorations people have always done. The thing that's crazy to me now is people are doing Halloween decorations to like the same level as Christmas.
I know,
and that's kind of crazy to me too. So I don't know. We're celebrating the seasons, I guess, and the different holidays. So I don't know.
Well, okay. So that's what we're dealing with, though. This is the reality we all live in, and that's okay. So how do we make sure that with all of the, you know, who knows what's going on, but people are celebrating things like crazy. How do we make sure that we are focusing on the true meaning of Christmas? Like, what do we need to do? That's what we're trying to talk about, right?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we've talked about some of this on Christmas specials in the past, but we wanted to zero in specifically on what Advent's all about.
Yeah.
'Cause I really think it's important to have some kind of tool or resource or something that you can help your family or even your own heart kind of focus,
yeah.
You know, and it's a great, I think people are more receptive and open. And I think it's just a great opportunity for us to, you know, see that. So
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I know for me growing up, that was why, like, I loved Christmas so much more mm-hmm. because I we had this tradition that we did, and it's centuries old. I mean, it's not a new tradition, you know? So, yeah, let's talk about Advent.
Like, yeah.
What even is Advent? Advent is this thing. It's a season of remembrance and preparation, okay? A remembrance and preparation, and it takes place before Christmas. So it's funny, even in like, I don't think people understand the traditions that have existed for a very long time. We have things like the 12 days of Christmas, like that song, the 12 days of Christmas, but people don't realize that that's supposed to be the 12 days following Christmas. Advent is actually a season of time that is before Christmas. So you have this kind of two-part way of celebrating and preparing for and then celebrating Christmas.
Yeah.
Advent is before, 12 days of Christmas is after.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think people have celebrated in many different ways, and there are a lot of traditions. Did we have the conversation about how Charles Dickens invented a lot of the modern Christmas holidays?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
I don't know if we talked about that on air or not, but yeah, Christmas was not as big a deal supposedly before at least in the English yeah. world.
Well, it was waning like crazy. There were some things that they did, but not everybody necessarily did it. And
yeah.
it was really losing popularity to just celebrate Christmas.
Right.
And then that book came out, A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
And it exploded. The people
there's a movie surrounding that sort of story and how that came out.
What was that called?
I can't remember now.
I honestly
can't remember. But anyway.
Making Mr. Scrooge or something like that. It was something like that.
It was well, Amazon. And the character of Scrooge, the guy who played it, I can't remember his name right now, but man, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. That was a great movie. But anyway, it just made me think of, you know, people have been celebrating. Christmas is seemingly bigger than ever, but maybe not for the right reason.
Exactly.
And I think that Advent helps us to focus that on what we as Christians really hope Christmas is about.
Yeah.
You know, Advent literally means arriving or appearance.
Yeah.
So it's the arrival of our Savior, of Jesus.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
That's right. I mean, that is exactly what it's about. It's all about the arrival of Jesus into the world. And we celebrate it on the four Sundays. So the way the timetable works is it's four Sundays before Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever those four Sundays are, like this year, I think it falls on Sunday. Christmas falls on Sunday. So it's the four Sundays prior to that Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. It's focusing on Jesus' arrival. But why do people celebrate it?
Mm.
Why should we celebrate it, right?
Yeah.
What do you think happens, Brian, if we don't do something to focus on Jesus at this time?
Well, I mean, we've talked about how culture kind of takes over, and we were joking off, you know, before this about how we learned the sort of secular Christmas lessons from like the movies and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you need to have joy and you're, you know, have goodwill towards men, you know, and then
everything good will happen to you.
God
forever.
Bless us, everyone. You know. And
we were joking how if you can just wear the right kind of
flannel, yeah,
then you're probably guaranteed to get the girl, according
big,
to Hallmark
listen,
movies.
Big city investment bankers, be careful. You're going to lose your girlfriend this season.
No offense to those of you who like
some
Hallmark.
Christmas tree farmer in a flannel in the country.
Listen, seriously, for those of you who love Hallmark movies, no, we are not trying to offend you, but you have to admit that is pretty normal.
It's like every Hallmark movie.
It's great. It's great.
I want to see a reverse one where a country girl goes to the city.
Yes. Oh, that's
Hey,
that could be good. Patent that right now.
Well, anyway, I think if you, back to the serious question, if you don't have something that focuses you on Jesus, then you lose the meaning and you really get off track.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, you know, we as adults need that.
Yeah.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. But I think our kids need that a lot. Because, I mean, could you imagine growing up your whole life and thinking that Christmas is all about just, like, you and getting presents? And then, like, and then trying to be told, like, oh, well, you're supposed to think about other people. When, like, your whole childhood, you've been taught the opposite. Like, I feel like that would be really hard to overcome.
Yeah.
Don't you agree? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got to think about this as parents too. Like, what do we want our children to learn from Christmas? We might accidentally be teaching them that life is all about them if we're not focusing in on these most important things.
That's right.
And, you know, our attitude is really important.
Yeah, so, I was going to ask you, what do you think our attitude should be during Advent season?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because sometimes people think it's supposed to just be this really thoughtful, pensive sort of thing where you're just, you know, you meet together with your family and you're just supposed to be, you know, talking about Jesus and not having any fun. And it's like, no, it's supposed to be a joyous remembrance where you're celebrating.
Yeah.
It's gladness, right? Yeah. And
we're so thankful that, you know, this actually is grounded in our theology because we need to be so thankful that God, in his mercy and love, sent Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is why we celebrate Christmas. We just, at our last D-Now, we talked about how, went through some of Romans and how we unpacked some of the gift of Jesus, you know, really the need for Jesus because of our sin and what Jesus does for us and how, you know, the redemption. And so when we look at our salvation, we look at all that God's done, you can't do anything but celebrate.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Once you understand it and you accept it for your own, it's just, you're just happy, you know, you're just happy. And, so that's why it's so good to do it. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of ways to do Advent, okay? We want to talk about one specific way, but there's a bunch of other ways out there. What are some of these other ways that people try to celebrate Advent?
Right? Yeah, so in my mind, I thought, you're saying there's other ways to celebrate it. That's new to me. I thought it was just the Advent and the Advent wreath.
But
You're saying that you're celebrating the arrival of Jesus using these other methods.
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. So there's like other ways that people celebrate. There's like different elements or different things, kind of systems, I guess,
okay,
that people use to celebrate Advent. You know, some of it is like in the church services, they're focused on these sorts of things. You know, there's daily devotionals that people go through that aren't necessarily an Advent wreath, right?
I mean, I'm familiar with the Advent calendar, you know, especially the chocolate Advent calendar, which is basically a countdown to
I think that's one of the
Christmas.
Most popular ones, honestly. I think it is. There's others. We know about the Christmon tree, vaguely, right?
We have one at our church.
At our church.
And that was, each ornament on there has a special meaning about the birth of Christ and the story. And so we've not done it in a long time, but I think what you would do is almost like an Advent, as you decorate the tree, you're telling the story of Christmas.
Yeah.
But, you know, many of the ladies that handmade those ornaments have passed away, but we do still put that tree up every year at church.
Yeah, a legacy. Yeah, there's a bunch of other, you know, random ways that people celebrate.
Lighting a Christingle.
A Christingle. We had to look that
up.
Which
we found that out is a Monrovian.
I think I still have it.
Monrovian church. It's an orange with a candle stuck on
it
and some other candy and things put on it. And I guess each thing has significance and meaning. And you light this orange on fire?
I guess. It seems very, like, unsafe. I don't know that would pass, like, safety.
Yeah.
You know,
we were laughing at the word Christingle, too. That just doesn't sound right, you know? Christingle.
You know, you can do those things if you want, but the Advent calendar, that's great. You know, you get candy and stuff. But what we're wanting to focus in on is something called the Advent wreath.
Yes.
The Advent wreath, which I think is a very popular thing as well.
Yes.
So what is it? What is the Advent wreath?
Yeah. Five candles. They each represent different aspects, right?
Yeah. And there's a wreath placed around the candles. Mm-hmm. To me, this is just funny. Like every time I think of, like when I've told people about the Advent wreath and they are like, okay. And then I start talking about lighting candles and they're like, wait, what? Candles? A wreath? Tell me what's going on. And so I just think it's funny that it's an Advent wreath, but it's really all about these five candles that have a wreath placed around them.
Yeah. They do have other candle holders, but you're right. Traditionally, we think of an Advent wreath. I just looked up online other kind of Advent candle
holders. There's a ton of cool things out there, and you can do with a wreath, without a wreath, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
It's really about the candles.
Yeah. So what are the candles about?
Yeah. There's three purple ones, one pink one, and one white one. And before we get into, you know, how I do it and how, you know, we're going to be talking about it, there's a bunch. Here's what's kind of frustrating about this. There's like a billion different ways you can do the Advent wreath. Every time I search it, there's just a slight variance, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the church websites that I found, one of the kind of normal ones that I've seen is one candle represents hope, one represents peace, one represents joy, one represents love, and the white candle always represents Christ, and that one's usually in the middle, right? So there's hope, peace, and joy. Those are the purple ones, and then love is the pink one, and then Christ is the white one. And then the Village Church is a church down in Texas, and they have a really great resource that we're going to post for you on the notes. And we've used this at our church too. And the way that they do the different candles is they call it the promise of a savior, the promise perfectly kept, tell of his coming, promise for all peoples, and then the Christ candle. Mm. So the way that I do it is a little differently. I've taught this to our students several years now, mm-hmm. maybe more. So I kind of have a way that I've grown up doing it that I will walk through here in just a minute. But the point is, what we're trying to do is give you something that you can use and you can make it your own.
Right.
That's what's beautiful about it. These are just elements that we want to mm-hmm. give to you. You make your own. Right.
Yeah. As long as you're celebrating the coming of Jesus.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there's a way that you need to do this. You know, the way I do it is, and the way I do it with my family is you pick a day of the week to gather as a family. I normally just do one day a week. There are things out there that can help you do, like you can do something every single day, like a devotional type thing. We normally just do one day a week, and it takes anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes, like tops. I recorded videos so that our nephews who don't live here in Evansville could see what we're doing. And the video was 10 minutes
That's
long.
Cool.
So you light the candle. You read the scriptures that are associated with that candle and what it stands for. Mm-hmm. You talk about it. And then, if you want, you can sing some songs, and then you pray together. Mm-hmm. And then what's great to do, what I love to do, is eat a bunch of dessert after that. That makes it so much better. So anyways.
Like Brian said, there are some step-by-step instructions. We are going to link in the show notes. The one from the Village Church is really helpful as
well.
It
is. They've got some extra activities and things you can do.
Yeah. So, but yeah, talk us through the first candle, the candle of hope, or the prophet's candle.
Yeah. So the candle of hope or prophet's candle, it is it's the first purple candle, mm-hmm. and it emphasizes God's promises of a savior throughout scripture. And so I always go to, there's so many scriptures you could go to for all of these, but especially this one, but I usually go to Isaiah 7, 10 through 14, which is talking about the virgin who will give birth to Emmanuel. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14, that's the descendant of David who will have an everlasting throne. Isaiah 9, 5 through 7, that's a child will be born, the Prince of Peace. And then Isaiah 11, the descendant of David will be a righteous Savior. Mm. So those are the scriptures that you can use to do that. A lot of those are on that Village Church thing. But I love, one of my favorite parts about this is singing the songs. Mm. Like, some people don't enjoy doing that. It's, you know, it can be hard a cappella. You know, you might not be able to have the lyrics, whatever. But for this candle, the songs that we normally sing are O Come, Emmanuel, and then Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Mm.
And you get the sense of, we want Jesus to come. And you get the feeling of how the people in the Old Testament longing for the Savior that they've been promised to come. And the prophets have been telling them about this hope
that's
that
good.
They have to look forward to.
Yeah, that's right? Awesome. I like that.
So then the second one is the candle of preparation. And this is the second purple candle. And it's also called the Bethlehem candle. Mm-hmm. This emphasizes God's sovereignty to bring about the circumstances that brought Jesus into the world. So it's all about God orchestrating everything to bring it together. He's been promising this, and now we get to see, like, how he brought it together. And so the one of the texts that I go to is Micah 5, 2 through mm-hmm. 5.
Yeah.
And that's Bethlehem. That's the place where the Savior is going to be born, mm-hmm. right? You know, Isaiah 40, 3 through 5, messenger would come before the coming of the Lord. And then Luke 3, 2 through 6, John the Baptist is that messenger, mm-hmm. and he preaches repentance, right? And so there's a couple songs that are good to sing with this candle. Mm-hmm. A Little Town of Bethlehem. You see how God, you know, mm-hmm. God chose David from Bethlehem. Here's Jesus from Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And then It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Mm-hmm. That's a good one, too.
Classics. These are good with kids. The first mm-hmm. couple, I don't know, that you mentioned, O Come, Emmanuel, and Come Thou Long Expected
Jesus. That one's a hard one.
Yeah, that's a hard one, actually. But these definitely, you could sing these with children, mm-hmm. and they would, you know, and you may have to find something a little bit easier for the first one, but
yeah.
It's good stuff.
And there's so many out there, you know, and you can look up other things too. So do you want to try to walk through one of these?
Sure. Because
this is kind of like my baby, so I know, but
we're going off of your notes here.
Yes.
The third candle is the candle of joy, the shepherd's candle, and it emphasizes the joy of shepherds and the proper response to knowing Christ. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you think about the shepherds, and I love how Jesus was announced to them first, you know?
Yeah.
And that really helps to put in perspective who he came for and why he came. And so as you look at these scriptures, you read Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20, that account there, and then Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and does this focus on the wise man?
Yeah. So I usually couple those together because of their response. It's cool. In those texts, when you read them, it very clearly says that the shepherds, you know, it's good news of great joy, and the shepherds rejoiced, right? Mm-hmm. And then the wise men, when the star landed over the house where Jesus lived as a 2-year-old boy or whatever, it says that they rejoiced exceedingly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that is exactly what we're supposed to, how we're supposed mm-hmm. to respond.
Yeah.
You know?
And so your songs here are Joy to the World, and then Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and Oh Come All Ye Faithful. Now, those are some good ones right there, because those are
the easy classics. And
we've sung those Christmas caroling many times, and so people should know those songs.
Yeah, it's so much fun, especially
I like the element of worship too. I like that.
It's good, honestly. You know, at first when you do it, I mean, it's a little odd, but when you just embrace it and do it, man, you end up loving it.
Yeah.
So I'll walk through this one because it's a little this. So the fourth candle, I find whenever you're looking at these resources, whatever, like the fourth candle is always a little different. Mm-hmm. So this one, I've always called it the candle of love, or Mary's candle.
Mm.
And the way that I've interacted with this is a little unique to what I've found elsewhere. And so, you know, if I'm getting this, if this is stupid, tell me. So here's what it does. It emphasizes God's love for the world in the gospel and how we can love him back. Mm. So it's he loved us first, and we love him back. And this is the pink candle, right? Mm. You know, love, it just makes sense.
Right.
So I always go to 1 John 4, 9 through 10 and 19, where it talks about God loving us first. Because mm-hmm. that's the love of the world. God so loved the world. And you know, sometimes I do John 3:16, God loved the world that he gave his one and only son, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we love him and know love because he loved us through Jesus first.
Yeah.
That's where love comes from, is from God. And then I go to Luke 2, verses 19 and verse 51. These are the verses where it says Mary pondered these things in her heart. She was thinking through all the things that were happening to her son and who he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just was thinking through this as I was trying to teach this to the students, and I realized, like, think about the fact that Mary is the first human being to love our Savior, because she was his mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how cool is that, to be the first person to love Jesus Christ, our Savior?
Yeah.
You know, she's a great example of what love for the Savior, you know, is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so great.
So it's just good to think about those things. And then we do our thing, you know, we light the candle, we read the scriptures, and then we sing these songs. A song you could sing is Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus Loves
Me. Especially
with
little kids, that's great. Yeah,
that's good.
And then Away in the Manger. Away in a Manger, that's a great one, easy for kids as well. So
you're good.
And then
the last candle is the candle of salvation. This is Christ's candle. So this is the white candle.
It's one of the most important ones, I would say.
This is the one you do on Christmas Day.
That's right.
So when do you normally do this?
I normally do this. Some people do this Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to do it. I like to do it Christmas morning before we, like, really get into the presents.
Mm.
We always have done that. It's just like, what are we here for? Like, mm-hmm. what is the most important thing today? Jesus. And so we do that. You know, normally as kids, we would see our presents and be like, oh, and we wake our parents up, and then we would do the Advent wreath.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this one emphasizes that Jesus is the Savior who takes away sin. So you're looking at the account in Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7.
Yes, yeah. So we read the fact that, you know, it's that famous passage of Scripture.
Luke chapter 2, 25 through 38, where he's confirmed as Savior of the world.
Yeah, that's where the two people and the priest, is it Simeon or is it Simon? Yeah,
Simeon.
Mm-hmm. And then Anna, they both rejoice when they have seen the Savior, and they both say things about how this is the Savior, and they're like, I'm good now. I've seen the Savior. That's all I needed.
And then John chapter 1, verse 29, where John the Baptist has a prophetic word there that about Jesus is the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. So So after you light the candle and you read the scriptures, then you can sing songs. Here you have good Christian men and rejoice in Christ alone.
Yeah, good Christian men rejoice. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good Christian men. Yeah. I missed the comma.
No, it's good.
Christian men rejoice and in Christ alone.
Yeah, that the in Christ alone I got from that our resource from the Village Church. Mm. And I was like, yeah, that's so good. It's a good
song, yeah.
But then good Christian men rejoice is all about, you know, Jesus Christ was born today.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's again, it's that joy that your sins can be taken away.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Christmas is awesome, because our Savior takes away our sins.
Yeah, I think this is neat. I think that as kids get older, they can also participate by reading some of the scriptures, by lighting the candles, you know, doing different things like that. I'm sure, you know, you probably don't want to give your 2-year-old a match or
No, but they love blowing those candles out. I bet they do. I'll tell you, they love, or at least trying to. That's kind of funny, watching them just
spit all over them. But it's... it is neat to involve the kids as much as possible and find ways to involve them. And this, and like we said earlier, this isn't just a kids thing. This is an adult thing. You can do this if you don't have kids, if you're just with your family or however it best works.
Yeah,
maybe your church does it in your church,
too. Yeah, a lot of churches do this, and they have their own kind of way, you know, follow that. But, like, I mean, Kayla and I, before we had kids, we did this, you know, and it was a really precious time.
Yeah.
So we hope that this is a way that you can do Advent. It's been, for me, I know growing up my whole life, it's just been so precious, and it's always helped me love the Lord more, honestly.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just thinking about him all the time.
That's good. Yeah.
And so, but here's the thing, like, you got to make this your own.
Yeah.
Cause there's so many things here that you can do or not do. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're, you know, in the Bible, and as long as you're together looking at God's word, it'll be fine. It'll be good. You're doing a great job, right?
Yeah, and we've not done Advent like this, and so we're going to possibly try this, maybe get ourselves an Advent wreath and all that. You know, I shared in the previous Christmas episodes, we've done our adornaments.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They're ornaments that you put on the tree. Adore the Savior. And each of those have a little devotional. There's 12 of them. And so you could either do like the 12 days of Christmas or you could break it up however you want. Most of the time we do it the 12 days, like before Christmas, do we start 2 weeks before or 12 days before. And every night we have a time of devotion, and each kid gets to hang an ornament on the tree. And so there's all kinds of different ways and things. So don't get stuck in one way, but this is just a new idea. If you've never done this before, then this Advent wreath and the candles could be just a fun way to focus your Christmas on the Savior.
Yeah. And if you like you said, if there's something else that you do and you're focusing on the Lord together as a family, and you love it,
right?
Like, do it,
right?
That's great. You know, this is just another great way to do it too. And so, because that's the whole point, is just we've got to find ways to make sure that Jesus is the most important thing to us. You know, if you prioritize something, you do something about it. So, plan it out, right? You know, it's not going to happen by accident.
Yeah,
you gotta make sure nothing else gets in the way of whatever tradition you're doing to focus on the Lord. And I hope that this helps you find joy in the Lord.
Yes.
So
yes,
we as Christians need to be glad at this season, because I don't know about you, but when I go shopping at Christmas time, people aren't happy.
Right.
We need to be. Mm-hmm. We need to show the world what it's like to have the Lord. So, right. So I hope that that's helpful to all of us. I know it's going to help me, as it always does. And this always refocuses me.
Yes.
So anyways.
Good. Yeah. So as you're hearing this, check out the resources and incorporate the Advent into your Christmas season.
That's right. Cool. Well, Merry Christmas. Thank
Merry
you for listening.
Merry Christmas. Hold on. Oh, that's the wrong button. Fail. Okay, here we go. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Goodwill towards people, right?
Okay, Brian.
That's what I learned from all the Christmas movies.
The Hallmark Christmas movies?
Yeah, they taught me it's all about goodwill.
Is that why you're wearing flannel so that your wife won't, like, you know, go find some other dude?
You feel sorry for all the big, like, city slicker investment brokers because they're about to lose they're about to lose their girlfriends
everything.
To the lumberjack.
Wives, in a Hallmark movie. Girlfriends, you know.
Poor guys.
Doesn't matter, whatever.
Yeah. Hide your wives, hide your kids.